Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are live in studio this week again with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones and using her book, Teach Your Team to Fish. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you.
So glad to be on this show because I finally feel like this chapter gets me. A little bit of crazy in all of us. What a great title. And it so gives us permission to for ourselves and also to apply grace for others that we know are more than just a little bit crazy, right?
Right.
So tell us this chapter, this title of this chapter, you know, throughout this, the course of how Jesus led his team, you know, we've been talking about this section of Teach Your Team to Fish is the release section. How do you release crazy people to do the work that they're called to do?
Oh, goodness, we're doing it every day, aren't we? I think to give up the notion that there is such a thing as normal, a normal person, a normal childhood, a normal decision-making process. Certainly, in our work with personalities, we've learned that people process information differently, that they have different heart wiring in their brains. We're learning now through science that even bees have personalities. Mm-hmm. The scout bees are hardwired to seek adventure more than the ones that tend the hive. So it's a matter of processing things differently. So what looks crazy to you or me is a normal behavior, could be a normal behavior for the person that's acting on it. So certainly it calls for a measure of compassion and also adjusting expectations so that we don't think that everybody has to be perfect in order to be on our team.
Mm. Wow, now there's a concept, right?
Right. I was watching a TV sitcom, I won't name it, but it's making fun of hypocrites in the church, and the leading judger of women in the church is just making life miserable for everybody. But her brother was explaining her behavior to someone. He said, oh, she's just so afraid of being bad that she tries to be super good. So it's her knowledge of her own inner badness that is making her overcompensate by trying to be goody-goody two-shoes.
Mm.
So she has a little bit of crazy, and she's certainly in the church.
Wow. So you give us some examples in this chapter how Jesus identified, he could see the kind of craziness in a Peter or in the woman with five husbands, or the man with the legion of so-called demons. Those are the stories that you share in this chapter. Talk to us about that. How does a leader see something in another individual? And maybe it is a little bit off the scale to the left or the right, but then use that to accept, promote, encourage, you know, involve, engage. How does one do that if you know it's a little on the crazy side to do?
Well, I think I shared in a recent show that I was recently in Denali, and you were with me there with our friend Linda and her family, and we saw what kind of animal was it? Some kind of deer or gazelle or wouldn't be a gazelle, but anyway, it was a four hoofed animal, and it was running. It was a ram, and it was running crazily on the road. And our guide said that parasites were probably driving it crazy. That they get these parasites, and they drive them so crazy they run to the water to jump into the water, even if a grizzly bear is present, because they're more driven by this little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in this chapter, I talk about a man who wrote a book called, on the 23rd Psalm. His family has been shepherds for years and years, and he said that the duty of a shepherd is to check the wool and underneath the wool of each sheep at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, because little nicks and cuts and scratches can get under the wool. You can't see it, but it can really get infected or mm-hmm. lead to injury or harm or even death. So a good shepherd doesn't just take the sheep and toss them out there, but tends to be very aware of their perhaps their moods or their mood swings or, you know, what's bugging you. We have a wonderful example of that in Nehemiah with the king saying, what's wrong? You know, your countenance is down. So that king was really a shepherd in that relationship because he was perceptive that something was bugging Nehemiah, and it certainly was.
Well, that's a beautiful picture of a shepherd. We really don't think of pastoral shepherds pulling the wool back off of each individual person within their, you know, under their leadership or under their banner, and investigating what's bugging that person.
Right.
To maybe have them act a little bit crazy, you know, maybe there is something kind of there under their skin, you know, whatever. So that's a great image, I think, for all of us is, you know, Christ the Good Shepherd, mm-hmm. obviously is what we've been told, but the caring of that shepherd the caring of those sheep is a whole different process.
Right, right. A lot of churches nowadays like to count their flock, and some churches try to fleece their flock. But how many of them are really trying to care for the flock and make sure that they don't have little bugs and parasites hidden in the wool that are driving them across the river and into the grizzly bears?
Yeah, great, great picture, and one we could probably talk about. So a leader, a shepherd, a guide, a manager, CEO has many, many tasks, right? Many tasks. And generally, crazy people, are they the ones that get that attention? Or are they just kind of written off as, oh, well, I think you had a story in here about a guy who they just kind of put up with him for 17 years because that's just how he was. He was a great worker, but he had to yak a lot or something. I can't remember.
Right, right.
You know, so, you know, what I see in your writing here, Lori, is grace, is love. But it's in this section of release. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, how do we release craziness? You know, how did Jesus as the Omega leader release Peter to, even though he knew Peter very well?
Right. Well, I think this goes back to knowing the person's passion and purpose, because when you connect them to that, then there's going to be craziness, but it's going to be crazy good because they're going to go all out. I was watching another show. I've been in a contemplative TV watching state here.
Apparently,
but you know, there's so many great stories out there, and these two prosecuting attorneys had gotten divorced, and they were still meeting for drinks and have this amicable relationship. And they said, you know, we just didn't have time for the relationship because we were so busy jonesing for justice. And I thought that, of course, my name is Jones, but that notion of jonesing for justice, that they were so driven to try to get justice that they looked a little crazy to other people.
Wow. You have some powerful questions in here, Lori. This word normal that you used at the beginning of the call or the show about, I don't remember if it was, who it was, about the stick a hat in your geranium. Was it Barbara Johnson? It was either her or Florence Littower or, you know, somebody like that, that said, probably Barbara Johnson now that I'm thinking about this, the comment, normal. The only normal is the setting on your dryer. You know, and I think what we consider normal, you know, somebody else would consider a little bit crazy,
right,
or vice versa. But assuming that this question, are you assuming that all your team members are normal? Obviously, there has to be some kind of consensus and congruency when you're working with a team. But what should we consider?
As normal?
What should we consider about our teams?
Well, are they moving the ball forward, to use a sports language, sports metaphor? Are they living their passion? Are they operating out of their highest gift?
Mm.
You know, if you take some of the instruments in an orchestra and have them play by themselves,
mm-hmm.
they don't sound like much.
Wow.
You know, someone banging a drum or someone blasting a trumpet or whatever, it can sound like a lot of noise.
Mm.
But when you put them together and their craziness, the
sure.
craziness of the percussionist and the craziness of the trumpet player and the craziness of the horns and the craziness of the guitars
mm-hmm.
and the craziness of pianos, wow, that's
yeah.
some crazy good.
Yeah,
so
good
it's
point.
Getting people to work together. Are we all going to end up in the same place
hmm.
when this team is done?
I don't know if this was the verse. No, it wasn't the verse at the beginning of the chapter, but Jesus was able to say, I know my own, and my own know me. Well, unpack that for a second for us.
Well, for one thing, I think it gives me great comfort in, you know, if I apply that to my life, the people who know me, and I know them, and I don't have to care what other people think. You know, I don't need to be driven by popularity or by those things. It also goes to a deeper level of knowing the soul of somebody. And, I mean, Jesus, he didn't fear losing people. You know, he had the sense. In one of the verses, he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you.
Mm-hmm.
He drew them to him. He knew their souls. And so it's amazing to think about a leader being able to know the soul and the heart of their team
mm-hmm.
and inspire that and keep that ever present in their thinking.
Yeah, I finished early towards the end of last year, I finished the memoir of Eugene Peterson, where he talks about his journey as a young person, you know, his calling into ministry, and then 25 years at the church in, I believe, Maryland or New Jersey. I can't remember exactly the location, but the art and craft of handling sheep is amazing. And my takeaway out of this chapter is, you know, I kind of look at ministers a little bit differently. I mean, you talk about crazy people that have to be all kind of corralled every
mm-hmm,
week
mm-hmm.
at a church service.
Right.
You know, people on the board, people, you know, new people coming in the door, people that have been there for 50 or 60 years who don't want things to change. They want them to stay the same. You know, all these different pieces that are being handled by the shepherd.
Right.
By the one, you know. And this particular passage, I know my own and my own know me, it is comforting. You know, I think that's a great way to look at it and hold it. I also sense a little bit that the craziness in me, God knows.
God knows there's yeah. craziness there.
You know what I'm saying? And that's okay.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, it's okay for me to be a little bit crazy because God knows me and I know God.
Beautifully said, Shelley.
Yeah.
Beautifully said.
Thank you. Well, I love this chapter. I loved it. I think it's comforting. I think it's full of wisdom and grace as we go into this weekend, you know, thinking about, where will we go to church this week? And will the shepherd be pulling my wool up to check out the bites that I've had this week? Next week, Lori is speaking at the World Leaders Conference in West Palm Beach, Florida. So We will not be on this show next week, but we will be looking forward to hearing about that as we follow up the following week. So best of luck at the World Leaders Conference. I hear there's some great speakers. Do you want to say anything about that?
Tony Blair, Cokie Roberts, mm-hmm. Bill Hybels, Ken Blanchard, James Blanchard, Patrick Lencioni. It's going to be a great group. Tony Dungy. I think Tony Dungy's
there. Yeah.
Great group.
Awesome. Well, we'll look forward to hearing the reports from that as you make your way back. And have a great weekend, everyone. And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Shelley.
Bye.